Take your Bibles and turn with me, and we're going to begin reading with Exodus 25 concerning the Ark of the Covenant, and then we'll back up a little bit there as we always do. Exodus 25, beginning to read with verse 10. Exodus 25:10. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shall thou overlay it, and shalt make up on it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. And the 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and the 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall ye make the cherubs. The cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces shall look one to another towards the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Just come, Father, and that your spirit would be here, be present, and be, you tell us where 2 or more gathered, you're going to come in a special way, in a special power. And Father, we enjoy that sweet, sweet spirit, and so please that he come and will teach us and guide us today through your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the joy we have. Thank you for the honor that we have to focus and search your word and find the truths in it that will guide and lead our lives. So please, anyone that does not know you as their Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. Please, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that last verse that we read, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And so, for weeks now, for months now, while we have continued to study and to research the tabernacle, this past week I had an opportunity to visit with some folks all the way down in Brown County, and he got to talking about what they were studying, and I guess I just can't resist. I said, what did Moses get up on Mount Sinai? Ten Commandments. I said, yes. What else? I don't know. And I said, how about the tabernacle? Yeah, I've heard of that. And so you have an opportunity right there to give them the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, give them the gospel in knowing about it. And it's such a wonderful open door and opportunity, especially with someone you don't even know, that you can, it just opens that door for you to be able to visit a little bit. This tabernacle, as we have enjoyed it, we're going to start all the way at the veil. This is the veil. This is the same picture, just a blow up of that. And here is the veil. Here's what is the scripture is just talking about, because right here is where God's plan was to meet with the people of Israel. Now, the folks just couldn't come in and fellowship like we come in. There was a man called the high priest, appointed through the tribe of Levi. God set all that up. On one day a year, on the Day of Atonement, they would come, and the high priest, this was all his doing. They would pick two goats, and he would choose which one by, they call it the Urim and the Thummim. He would carry in his little pouch, and he would pull one out, and that would tell which goat would be put to death and which goat would be made alive. And the one that was put to death, I always loved that, because it always said it, that's God's goat. And so that one would be put to death. They would catch the blood of that goat. And alone, the high priest, that was done here at the brazen altar. And then he would come all the way in, come through the first veil, and then through the second veil, and he would come into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle seven times upon the mercy seat the blood of that goat. Now, prior to that, on the same day, he would need to do that with a bullock for himself. And so there's actually two times that he would enter in there, but it's just once a year he was allowed to go in to the presence of God. And this is where man was to meet with God. And so the whole purpose of that is that he was taking literally all the sin of all the people, and he would take those sins in. He would present the blood, and he would come back out, and he would take the live goat outside, and he would place his bloody hands upon the head of that live goat and confess all the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat was led as far as the east is to the west. He'd lead him up into the mountains, never to return. That's exactly what happens to your sin the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this took place one day a year. And we're going to read some scripture verses. I want you to see that, and I want you to understand that. Now, in studying here, we have gotten ourselves, the brazen altar stands for the cross. Brazen laver stands for the washing of the word. The table of showbread, now we've went from brass, which stands for judgment, to gold, which stands for deity. And so we come in, and we have the table of showbread. We got the lampstand with the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The light shines. We can see there's no natural light in here at all. And so understanding the only way that you can really know the Word of God is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit, as we had in Sunday school, the Holy Spirit begins to teach you and to grow you. And so that's what happens here. But that's just part of it. Then we come to this veil, and right here, this here is a prayer altar, incense altar, and that incense raises up into the Holy of Holies as our prayers do. And so we enjoy that. It lifts up into the Holy of Holies. So now the problem is that here's this veil, and only one time of the year could the high priest go through that veil. If anyone entered in that veil any other time, they'd drop over dead instantly. The only time they could go, and never, never, never go without the blood. That shows you how important the blood of the Lord Jesus is. And so we come through that veil and come into the Holy of Holies one time of the year. So we have studied every part of it, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the incense altar, prayer altar. We've had all that. And last week we were talking about the veil, this veil right here. And so that's where we're going to start right now. We're going to go back to Matthew and read concerning what happened to that veil the day that Jesus died on the cross. So look up for me, Matthew chapter 27. Verse 50 and 51. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Now remember the perfect picture that this tabernacle has for us. Verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after the resurrection, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so right there in verse 51, this veil has been ripped in two from top to bottom. It's God's doing. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, and I think it's worthy of us to go back, and we read them last week, but I think we need to read them again. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning with verse 2. Some of this is too important not to kind of cover again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary." That's the first room. That's the first room. "After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant." Now, you'll notice here that the golden censer is stated here, and some believe that that's the incense altar. And some believe that that's another tool that's used, because it states that that's inside the Holy of Holies. Well, we know that it cannot be there because they fed the coals on it and the incense daily. And the only time you could go into the Holy of Holies is once a year. And so I believe that if it is the incense altar, the reason that it has it so close is because that's the fellowship we have. When we're praying unto God and fellowshipping with God, that's how we enter into his presence. And so I wonder if that isn't the reason that it's been placed so close that it even lists it inside the Holy of Holies. Once again, verse 4, "which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot and that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant." Now, when we read back in Exodus, the only thing it listed right there at this time was the Ten Commandments, the law. That's what was in it, and that's the important thing for us to understand. Budded staff, yes, and the manna that they were eating, both that was placed into the Ark of the Covenant, into this chamber inside. So let's go to verse 6 now. in Hebrews 9, 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Again, I said he went in twice, once with the bullock and once with the blood of the goat. And then the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which he offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now, let's go to verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's a precious picture and shows us how important this tabernacle is, because God takes his word and gives us an example of what the Lord Jesus did with his precious blood as he took it to his Father after the crucifixion. Let's go to verse 23 of the same chapter, 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We need to look at those precious words and understand the connection. Today, the way is open to come right into the presence of God. God looks at every believer as if he is perfect because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin question is forever settled. We are clothed in righteousness. And so that allows us, and let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hope you're still there. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, as the Scripture tells us. Now, as we look at these three verses there, in verse 22, I have underlined, draw near. Let us draw near. And in verse 23, in the beginning there, it says, let us hold fast. I have that underlined. And then in verse 24, I have provoke unto love. And that word provoke means to stir up. To stir up. And so as we read this, understand, having their brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This veil has been torn in two from top to bottom. God did it, and he did it for the reason to show that all the Jewish religion, all the traditions that they have made for years, has been completed. It's finished. The Lord Jesus completed the law in every way. You see, that's the only way that a sacrifice, the sacrifice is the blood of the bulls and goats, that was not perfect. So he had to do it every year, year after year. But when Jesus went to the cross, he finished the work. And when he said it's finished, and when he rose again, there is no more forgiveness of sin except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has completed everything. He has taken care of everything. And not only has he taken care of our sin, but now, for the first time, we can come right to God the Father. God the Father is here. He is here, in this place here. Prior to this, they would come in with the blood once a year, but the Lord Jesus, not with the tabernacle made with hands. Jesus could not enter into the temple in that day and take his blood and offer it on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. He could not do that because this is man-made. And what our Savior has done is God done, God made. And he had to take care of it with his Father, and it speaks of a tabernacle in heaven, one not made with hands. And so what our Lord and Savior did upon his death, and remember the scripture verse that we have concerning Mary. He tells Mary, "Don't touch me because I have not yet ascended to my Father." He needed to finish that. Realize something, that when the high priest, when this was performed on the Day of Atonement, the high priest slaughtered the goat. The high priest caught the blood. The high priest took the blood all the way through the veil and sprinkled it seven times. There was no one present in the courtyard or in the tabernacle on that day, because this work was done by one man, and that was the high priest. And our Lord and Savior, one man, God, saved us, took our sin away. And he took his precious blood, and he presented it to his Father on the throne of God in heaven, and says, "Here, I've paid the price. It is finished." And we can rejoice and be so excited about that. Today, now, because this veil is gone, and we read it in the scripture there in Hebrews, that it said, no more is the veil, it is now my flesh. And so the Lord Jesus now is standing right here. That veil's gone. The Lord Jesus is standing there. And if you've ever wondered why, when you pray, that you pray in Jesus' name. Well, that's how we pray to God the Father. We come right through the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father here. And that's the reason that for so many folks that do not know the Lord Jesus, God the Father can't hear a thing they say. Can't hear a single thing. Because the only way you can get to God the Father is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Then you can get on and have wonderful fellowship with God the Father. God the Son, and God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Each one of them have a tremendous ministry. The Holy Spirit will bring us to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus brings us to God the Father. And so now, for the first time as a believer, we can go right to God the Father. Father, please, as you pray, as you go through your fellowship, you're talking to the Father, but the only reason you can do that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that veil now has been taken completely away, and we can go right to the Father and enjoy a fellowship with Him. And so let's take just a little bit of look at this ark. You'll find that it spoke, as we read that back in Exodus 25, that there was the law of the ark. That was in the 16th verse of chapter 25 of Exodus. The law was given back in the 20th chapter. Judgment always comes first, but grace always is present. And that's what the tabernacle stands for the grace of God. It's 3 3/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high. And so the Ark of the Covenant is smaller than this communion table. Not very, very large. Remember the size of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is 45 foot long, 15 foot wide, and 45 feet back on the other side. And then there's a veil in the front, the first veil. We got the golden walls. We've got the embroidered ceiling. Then we got the second veil. And then the last room is a 15 by 15 cube. And this little thing sat in the middle of it. The cherubims on each side facing each other. The mercy seat placed upon that. This is the only piece of furniture that it speaks of having the gold inside and out. Because the rest of it was just a table or the brazen laver. The brazen altar, all those things, they were not, there wasn't an inside and outside. The laver had a bowl with it. But this, it said, it should be acacia wood overlaid with gold inside and out. And then the mercy seat is pure gold. And it was placed on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. So it's two pieces of furniture in the one piece, but it's two parts. One is the Ark of the Covenant, the box, so to speak, and we gave you the dimensions of that. And then the second is this mercy seat that goes on top. It was made of pure gold. So it was acacia wood overlaid with gold inside and out, and then a pure gold top. Remember, and when it has the gold and the wood, it speaks of the deity and the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Wood stands for humanity. The gold stands for deity. But this golden top here, pure gold, stands for deity, stands for God. And that's where the blood was applied. Now, underneath that, inside this box, did have the food that they were eating. It had the staff that budded, choosing which would be the high priest. But the one thing that is the purpose of it, and that's the reason Exodus only lists that, it had the law. And so here's the law inside. And here's God here with the golden top for the Ark of the Covenant. And so there's only one thing that can happen, and that's judgment. Judgment has to come. God's a just, perfect God. So when the blood was applied, the blood was placed on top, the blood representing the blood of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I have paid the debt of sin. I've paid it. It's finished. How could he do that? He was perfect. He was God-man. He fulfilled the law in every way. He fulfilled the law in every way. I always thought that Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, was going to offer up Isaac. I always thought that he thought maybe he was the Savior. But Isaac couldn't be, because he wasn't perfect. But with man's thinking and understanding, but Jesus was perfect. And he died on the cross to save you and me, completed every part of the law, and then answered the ultimate. What is the wages of sin? Death. So see, just for Jesus to live a perfect life and then go home, that wouldn't have answered our problem. Because to fulfill the law was to do just that, to do every part of the law and then pay the cost. And he did. He died on the cross, paid our debt. We're set free. All we need to do is come by faith to the Lord Jesus. There were three arcs through the time. Noah's Ark, chapter 6 of Genesis. Moses' Ark in chapter 2 of Exodus. And then here, the Golden Ark, chapter 25 of Exodus, verses 10 through 22. Something that is very neat with this, our Lord Jesus, he wore a crown of thorns. But did you notice that it spoke of the crown that was around, the golden crown, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that surrounded this this piece of furniture. And so this mercy seat becomes, therefore, a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus in his redemptive work. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 25. Romans 3:25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now I'm going to read that a second time. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Now, what does that word, a propitiation, mean? It means mercy seat. So you could replace that word with mercy seat. Let's do that. Whom God has set forth to be a mercy seat through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He has saved us. It is a mercy seat. Without the mercy seat, we look down upon the broken law, and God's holiness would demand the death of the sinner, which is exactly as required for us. Folks try to convince themselves that they're not a sinner or they're not that bad a sinner, and so they do not need the precious blood of Jesus. Well, they'll find when they face death and go off into eternity, they will recognize, because the word of God's so clear that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It won't do them a bit of good because they'll be hellbound. But you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. We know that the mercy seat was placed between God and the broken law. But until the blood is applied, so all the years they had to do this year after year after year, because the work of man, even though it's God's plan, wasn't sufficient. But the day that Jesus finished that work, that's the reason that veil is gone. And he's standing right there, allowing us to go right to the Father, to fellowship with him. And so please, in closing this and understanding here, you know, you've got to come to the cross. That's here. Then he begins to do some work on us because we've lived in the world, and so we're saved. Sins are forgiven. Then the washing begins. The changes begin. And then we come in and we enjoy the feeding of the Word and the light of the lampstand and that sweet incense that fills this room and fills up into the Holy of Holies. And then we have the right to speak and to fellowship with God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus. It's that simple and that easy. But it all starts here. If you neglect, and that's what so many folks today believe in, a universal salvation. Let's back up to one more point. What is this whole building set up on? Silver. Silver stands for the blood. This whole building is set on silver. There's a 100 pound sockets of silver that these golden walls sit in. And if it wasn't for that silver, now let's back up a little more. Where'd that silver come from? It came from every individual Israelite that came with their half a shekel of silver. What happens if you didn't participate? You didn't bring your half a shekel of silver. What happened? You're banned from this. You have no opportunity. You cannot come in and bring an offering. You can do nothing. Do nothing unless you brought that half a shekel of silver. Now today, we're called to repent and to come to the Lord Jesus, and he saves us. Standing out here, this fence is only 7.5 feet high. It is a white fence. Speaks of the righteousness of God. God was perfect. Everybody knew it as he walked through this earth here. And so they're standing out here, and what do you see? You see the flames, the fire from the offering the sacrifice. You see across here is porpoise hide. So it's kind of a grayish color. So I want you to understand that as a lost person, when you're looking in, you don't see what we see looking out. Because when we're inside, we got the gold walls, we got the gold lampstand to have the sight, we got the bread, we got the beautiful embroidered ceiling, we got all those things that we enjoy. And you and I see that, but a lost person doesn't. A lost person smells the stench of death because of the offerings that are done here. They say that the smoke billowing up there. They see a drab-looking building, and you can come out and you say, oh, you know, I know Jesus, and it's so exciting to know the Lord Jesus and to walk with the Lord Jesus. And they'll say, I don't see what you're talking about. And they're not going to until they come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to him, and accept him as your Savior. And so that's what you must do. And what a tremendous picture that God has given us with the tabernacle. It shows us how we can come right to God the Father. There's no better picture in the whole Scripture concerning our relationship with the Lord Jesus, our life, and a picture of the Lord Jesus than this tabernacle. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time of fellowship. We just love coming together. We love studying your word. We love hearing your word. And there's not a time, Father, that we don't learn and don't grow. I can't imagine, Father, a teacher in a classroom that would teach the same grade and the same class out of the same textbook for several years. It would just be kind of ordinary and tiresome. Not your word, Father. Your word, the more we study it and the more times that we go through a certain area of your scripture, the more exciting it is, because it's living and it shows us the strength and the power. So, Father, I ask that you'll just touch every heart today. Bring those that do not know you as their Savior. We have no idea the day that we're going to face death. That may be today, it may be 50 years from now, but whenever that day comes, it's a day that, Father, you're the only one that knows. So, Father, please, please send your precious Spirit, that he will convict the hearts, that no one would leave this life without knowing you as their Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.